Wizards GM Will Dawkins will be on with us at 10:30. So 30 minutes from now, the general manager of the Wizards will join us. And then at 11, one of my favorite people to watch, and I thought she did a phenomenal job on the draft the last two nights, Monica McNutt from ESPN will join us. She's from here. She played at Georgetown. She'll join us at 11. Ben will join us a little bit later on in the show at 12. I'll get to, you know, what the Wizards did last night here in a moment. But this from Steele in Rockville. Steele writes, Kevin, the defense is fine. They are well coached. They've added size and playmaking. Please relax. If I hear about the defense again, I'm going to scream. You know, a lot of you are not overly concerned about the defense. And look, the truth is, like we say with a lot of these things, especially when it comes to things like the draft, and by the way, just NFL seasons in general, you really don't know until they start playing games. But, you know, are they well coached on defense? I mean, I certainly trust in the overall staff. I think they've got a very good staff. I think it's a borderline top 10 coaching staff. We talked about that last week. Certainly the combination, I think, of Quinn and the offensive coordinator, Kingsbury, is a really good 1-2 combination. You know, Joe Witt Jr.'s, I'm not knocking him, but let's face it, if we're going strictly on results, it was a bad defense last year. You know, it wasn't a good defensive football team. 26th against the run per DVOA, 23rd overall defensively, not a team that was a massive takeaway team. I mean, it was nice that they got the four they got in the playoff game at Detroit. That was huge. But I don't know that they are well coached defensively. I'm not saying they're not. I just don't know enough. I know what the results were last year. You know, and that certainly could have been as much about personnel as it was coaching. You know, the one thing that we talked about a lot during the course of the season last year is, for me anyway, I mean, I'm just speaking from my perspective, I thought there was a bit of a disconnect with some of the players they had on defense and the overall defensive performance. You know, I looked at them defensively and I thought, man, Frankie Louvu's really good. Bobby Wagner's really playing at a high level. Both of those players made All-Pro, second-team All-Pro. Mikey Sanristil's a really good player. I thought Quan Martin really came on towards the end of the season. I thought Jeremy Chinn played very well at times last year. You know, yes, up front, not so great. Certainly not a lot of consistency. Fowler Jr., outstanding as a pass rusher, but not good against the run. And there was kind of a disconnect for me during the course of the season. It was like, you know, they don't have terrible players, and yet they're not performing consistently enough. They're not good enough, and they're not making up for their inability to stop the run or their inconsistency against the pass. And, you know, we've said this a million times, you know, against some teams that weren't very good offensively. You know, they got a bit of a break, and they're not going to get that break this year. I mean, you can't say that definitively. But, you know, playing the Giants twice and playing the Cowboys twice without their starting quarterback and playing, you know, Cleveland with Deshaun Watson in the game and Carolina with, you know, subs abound and a rookie in Chicago and, you know, Jalen Hurts getting hurt in the second game. New Orleans' situation, that was a joke. You know, Michael Penix Jr. in his first road start, second overall start of his career. They just weren't very good. They just weren't. But they overcame it with great offense, clearly. But I don't think it's crazy at all. And it's not that I'm uptight about it. One of the things I've very much insisted on is there is a distinct possibility that this year will be completely different than last year, just based on the fact that that's the way it works in the NFL. There's tons of variance year to year with defense. Not as much offensive, with offense, because you tend to have the same quarterback and that person touches the ball on every play, and there's just more consistency year to year with offenses, especially when you have the quarterback solved, whether it's an elite quarterback, whether it's a good quarterback, whether it's a middle of the road quarterback. Defensively, things just tend to change. Sometimes it's just the competition you face. Sometimes it's just maybe the Washington situation in 2025. It's the second year of the same staff. The first year was kind of a year to acclimate to a whole new scheme, a whole new system, acclimate to each other. They had a lot of players that had never played with each other, last year. And something that we pointed out, and Quinn pointed it out first, at some point, second half of the season, when he said about his run defense, he said, we've played some really good running backs, and they did last year, and they're going to again this year. So I don't know. You're not going to hear me stop talking about this, Steele, in Rockville, and that means you're going to scream more, but this is the biggest question mark, the biggest mystery, the biggest red flag, the biggest who the hell knows heading into the season. And it's not unfair, based on what they did in the offseason with personnel, to say that, the flag is less red than it was before free agency and before the draft. We don't know that Kinlaw, Wise, Goldman, Jones, Harris, Amos are going to be massive difference makers. I'll tell you what, I look at the players coming back. I look at Frankie Louvu, who was a great player, I think arguably a top three player on the team last year. This is a guy now in his prime, second year in the system. He has star potential. I mean, he was a All-Pro last year. By definition, he's already a star player. I look at Louvu. I look at Daron Payne. We know what he's capable of. And he wasn't that last year, and he wasn't that the year before. If he gets back to what he was during that contract year in 2022, you've got a top 10-ish defensive tackle. You do, if he plays consistently at the level that he's capable of playing at. And the thing that I mentioned the other day, I think it was with Logan Paulson, he's only 28 years old. I mean, this is not a guy that is in his early 30s. He's 28. This is the prime of his career. I look at a guy like Dorrance Armstrong, who really came on at the end of the year and came up big in the postseason, really big in the postseason. I also look at, a guy like Johnny Newton, a talent, a playmaker in college, a havoc wreaker as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. But remember, last year he was coming into the season off of those injuries, and, there were moments, but there certainly wasn't, a season that you could put together and say, man, this guy really showed me a lot. Maybe this is the year that Johnny Newton becomes a force. He was an absolute wrecking machine in college. Jordan McGee, they loved him, last year. Was hurt. Couldn't do much. And then Marshawn Lattimore is critical, because I'm not counting, personally I'm not, on Trey Amos to be ready as a rookie. Just simply based on the position historically. The position historically doesn't provide, lights out play in year one. There are exceptions to the rule. We've seen him recently, with Sauce Gardner and with Pat Surtain. And last year, to a certain degree, Mikey Sanders still. But more times than not, rookies, first rounders, second rounders, third rounders, they need reps, they need games, they need experience. So Lattimore is huge in terms of what this defense will be. And then, these are the players that you really, if they're going to make a big jump from where they were last year to this year, if we're going to get that variance of wasn't good last year, but look at what happened this year. All of a sudden, they're a really good defense. If you're going to get that, the players that I mentioned, I think, are going to be critical to that. You know, it's possible guys we're not thinking about who have been mentioned, you know, John Baptiste, Hampton, you know, could end up being, you know, significant contributors, Percy Butler, and we're not thinking, you know, a lot about them. But the guys I mentioned, you know, Luvu, by the way, also Wagner not falling off a cliff age-wise. Now, maybe they think Jordan McGee is a really good player. And if Bobby Wagner isn't at 35 years old, isn't what he was last year and the year before, because he's had two back-to-back excellent years here. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer. But maybe they love the idea of what Jordan McGee can do or what a guy like Dominique Hampton can do. But, yeah, the guys that I mentioned, they got to have step-up situations. I think I'm most confident in Luvu. More than any other player on defense, I'm most confident in number four. Like, that's a dude. That's a guy that really can play. And I would not be surprised if they scheme him up more as a pass rusher than they even did last year. You know, I think he could be a doubt. Does he put his hand in the dirt on third down? I don't know. But, you know, the Micah Parsons treatment, you know, with Quinn and Witt Jr. when they were in Dallas, moving him around, which they did with Luvu last year. You know, maybe those eight sacks become 12 or 13 in 2025. You know, maybe a guy like Dorrance Armstrong, who finished, you know, incredibly, 3.5 sacks in the three postseason games, you know, along with a forced fumble, a huge forced fumble. Maybe he ends up becoming, you know, the beneficiary of more size, Deron Payne's stepped up play, and Frankie Luvu maybe becoming a guy that defenses have to game plan for. But yeah, Steele in Rockville, I'm not going to stop talking about it. I mean, this is, you know, especially when we get to training camp and we start hearing from coaches and players and we start seeing what it looks like in terms of who's going to start and what the rotation may look like. And you don't learn a lot from the games, but you learn a lot sometimes from what they say and even from those joint practices that they will hold. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not scared of it. I'm not like, it's going to suck. I'm like, it's got to step up in a big way. And it's going to be interesting to see if they figured it out with their acquisitions or they figured it out in year two with this, you know, same core group. And we'll see. Because with the schedule they have, and I, you know me, most of you do, I'm not a big schedule guy, but the way it looks now, and it doesn't mean it's going to look that way when you get there, it's going to have to be better than it was last year. Or the offense isn't going to get as many opportunities. The offense is going to have to even be better than they were last year to get back to that, you know, 12 win total where you're contending perhaps for a division title and home field. Because that's really how you get to the Super Bowl, more times than not. Now, Washington won two road playoff games last year. They did. But the, you know, the teams that played at home throughout ended up in the Super Bowl. And that usually happens more often than not. And so, ultimately, to get to the Super Bowl and have a chance to win the Super Bowl, and you got to get there first, you really have to win the division. You got to beat out Philadelphia heading into this season. And therefore, you know, you could be potentially a one or a two seed, hopefully. Could be a three or a four, but hopefully a top two seed where you're guaranteed at least two home playoff games. But thanks, Steele, for reaching out. It is definitely a topic for sure, even though you don't think it is. And, you know, the coaching standpoint, I'm not critical of their coaching. I just, you know, if we're just looking at results, and it's not like, you know, they had to be on the field last year in adverse situations because their offense wasn't doing enough. They were in advantageous situations throughout the season. Don't forget that. A lot of times you can look at a defense at the end of the year and say, well, They were on the field too much. They got worn down. Their offense couldn't, you know, keep the score in a context that was competitive. No. They had an offense that was top five in the league that basically didn't punt in a lot of games. So there's that too. So you got, you know, sort of a bottom third of the league performance defensively with an unbelievable offense that gave them every opportunity to be rested and to, you know, to be good. You know, it's not like the offense was turning the ball over deep in their territory game in and game out, or going three and out over and over and punting from their own 10, and teams were starting with great field position. That's not what it was. We know that. I mean, there were games in which the offense literally, there was no chance that the defense was going to get them off the field. So we'll see. The results weren't good enough, period. They've got to be better in 2025. You know, it reminds me that, you know, the NFL is so, you know, year to year, month to month, week to week. It's really week to week. When you have a great quarterback, sometimes you get into, no, it's more year to year. And I think they have a great quarterback. I know that some of you have reached out to say, man, you are really, really sure of Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury in this offense. Yeah, I haven't given much thought at all to them not being good on offense in 2025. The only way that happens is injuries. If the offense ends up being not very good in 2025, for me, looking at what, witnessing what I saw last year, there's only one way that they take a major step back, and it's health, it's injuries. Because if they trot, you know, 5-17 and a better offensive line and a healthy and playing with urgency Deebo Samuel out on the field, I just don't see how this team isn't dynamic again offensively and isn't really effective offensively. It'd be hard to be as good as they were last year, but I wouldn't put it past them. I think they have the ability to be as good, if not better. They certainly got better up front. You know, everything they did in the offseason, there's only one, you know, absolute in terms of where they improved, and that is along the offensive line. They added one of the top three pass-protecting left tackles in the game, one of the top 5-6 tackles overall in the game. So that's where they got better, and look, they may have overperformed at times last year. I think they did. But defense heading into 2025. We might talk about it again between now and the season opener on September 7th against the Giants. Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM, will join us at 10:30. When we come back, we'll update what the Wizards did last night and tell you about the Ace Bailey saga, which is getting strange. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.